الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الذين يتلون كتاب الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية يرجون تجارة لن تبور. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء اكرام, brothers and elders and listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who through His kindness and mercy has once again blessed us with the wonderful month of Ramadan, day 4 of the blessed month. And indeed it is a great privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded you and I to witness the start of the month of Ramadan. Among the many virtues of the blessed month of Ramadan, there is virtue and there's goodness for each and every aspect. From the fact of witnessing the start of the month of Ramadan, there's a separate virtue and merit, the special virtue of merit for every day of the month of Ramadan that follows thereafter. We know there's virtue of the first portion, the first 10 days, the special virtue and merit of the second 10 days, the special virtue and merit of the third portion of the month of Ramadan. Then we have the odd nights of the month of Ramadan. And over and above that, when you come right till the end of the month of Ramadan, there's a special virtue and merit to witness that alone, each one individually. Among the many narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the month of Ramadan, regarding its start, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانٍ, when it is the first night of the month of Ramadan. So today is day 4. Let's go back to Monday night when we started our Taraweeh Salah. That was the first night of the month of Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when it was the first of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks with His kindness and mercy towards the Ummah. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casts His gaze of mercy upon, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never punish that person. Now, we did not even start the Taraweeh Salah, neither did we commence fasting, and we never really engage in any actual act of worship. But the fact that we witnessed the start of the month of Ramadan, that's already on what a high note you started, that we had the gaze of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every second that was to follow thereafter is nothing but goodness, blessings and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon each and every one of us. So again, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has privileged us with witnessing the start of the month of Ramadan. But we also need to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us through the entire month of Ramadan right till we reach the end. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us many more months of Ramadan in our lives, inshallah, because we are all in desperate need of its goodness and its blessings. Respected brothers and elders, today inshallah we're going to discuss three simple aspects for each and every one of us to enhance our spiritual experience of the month of Ramadan, but not alone. You see, when it comes to acts of worship, then sometimes we tend to become a bit maybe self-centered because we're only concerned about ourselves. So yes, each person is struggling in their own way. Each person is trying to earn their Jannah. Each person is trying to maximize their benefit of the year after and trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we look at the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we look at the many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Jannah and the blessings that they will receive in Jannah and the many bounties that will be bestowed upon them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us various glimpses into snippets or scenarios that will take place in Jannah. And among those snippets and those scenarios that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of, there's a few places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about families being reunited in Jannah, and families coming together and enjoying the mercy and the privileges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the people of Jannah. And then we also come across many statements that the people of Jannah will make. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has removed from us every form of grief or every form of sadness, because Jannah is a place where you will be perpetually happy. And that also gives you the message that life in the world is not going to be as rosy as we expect it to be. It's going to have its challenges and it's going to have its heartache, because in Jannah you're going to say, all praise is due to Allah who has removed from me all grief and all sadness. So there's many statements that the people of Jannah will make. And among the statements that they will make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the people of Jannah will say, "Inna kunna qablu fi ahlina mushfiqeen." We together as a family, collectively, we feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna kunna min qablu nad'uhu. We together as a family called out to Allah, and together as a family we made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why is this plural or this collective form being used in the Quran? Allah is telling us that the people of Jannah will say that we together as a family feared Allah. Now, let's look at our lives, let's look at ourselves as family members and see that how we as a family are coming together to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where's the collective family effort in the month of Ramadan for us to boost our spirituality together? So that's why we're going to look at three aspects inshallah today in this month of Ramadan that we all gonna try to implement together as a family. So it's not only about me as an individual, but it's rather me, my wife, my kids, whoever lives under one roof together, even if it's an extended family, subhanallah, all the better. But what are we doing together as a family to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we want to go to Jannah alone, or do we want to go to Jannah together? Okay, let's not answer that question, because the amount of family politics that we have nowadays, the answer might be quite surprising. Anyway, that is why also prior to entering Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that every single person will go through a spiritual cleansing of his heart before he enters Jannah. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلِّنْ. We will remove from their bosoms, from their chests, from their hearts, all negativity, all ill feelings. So don't worry, all your politics and family problems that you're facing is only limited to the world. Before you go in Jannah, all that will be erased, all that will be deleted, and we will enter Jannah together and we'll enjoy the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's important that we mention that, because some might be thinking that, Maulana, please, I'm having enough problems in the world, at least I want to enjoy my Jannah. Now you're telling me I'm going to see the same people in Jannah, please, I really want to enjoy it there. I give enough qurbani and sacrifice in the world. So don't stress about that, because all those problems will be eradicated before we enter Jannah. Now coming to the three aspects that we need to do together. Number one, we know the month of Ramadan is Shahrul Quran, the month of Quran. And it's a month that we enhance our bond with the Quran, not we confine it to the Quran. We enhance it, because that relationship supposed to always exist between you and between the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes I think we've taken it too literally, that the month of Ramadan is Shahrul Quran, the month of Quran, so we think it's the only month for Quran. No, it's a month to enhance your relationship with the Quran. Now together as a family, we need to enhance our bond and our relationship with the Quran. So the appeal is that we need to try and spend a minimum, absolute minimum, of 5 minutes together as a family with the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our schedules are hectic, the days are short, time seems to be moving much more faster than we anticipate and than we expect. So maybe it might not even be possible every day, that's understandable. We work in, the kids are in school, everybody has their duties. By the time we come home, it's time for iftar, thereafter the Taraweeh Salah follows, others need to retire to bed early. We might struggle to find that time every day. If you can find that time every day, it's wonderful, it's brilliant. If not, maybe every second day. If not, not, maybe every third day. If not, at least twice a week or once a week in the month of Ramadan. Or use the weekend that is to follow to capitalize on this. But spend time together as a family with the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to sit together. Everybody's going to have their Quran open. If you want to nominate one person to recite, others listen. Wonderful. It's brilliant. If everybody wants to recite together, all the better. Whatever is your, whatever you want to do in that time, how you want to go about operating this period, that's entirely up to you. But together we're going to spend time with the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that will mean together as a family, we've worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will mean that collectively we're going to reap the rewards the day we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Number two, we know the blessed month of Ramadan, the companions say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always the most generous of people, and he was most generous in the month of Ramadan. He was described as being more generous than a wind that blows. Now, wind is such a thing, when it blows, it does not confine itself to a particular space and to a particular area. But rather, when wind blows, it goes through every single nook and corner. The slightest of gap, the slightest of cracks, wind will pass through it. So that is why the example is given that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more generous than a wind that blows, because his generosity went far and wide to anyone and everyone. And we all try our best in the month of Ramadan to be generous. But now we're talking about us collectively as a family. Let's get into this act of worship together. Let's take on a project together as a family. Take your kids, take your wife together and be part of this good of being generous in the month of Ramadan. And to our amazement and surprise, Allah is so kind and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous that Allah has made it within the reach of every single believer for them to be generous in the month of Ramadan. You don't have to have a lot of means, you don't have to have a huge bank balance to capitalize on spending in the month of Ramadan. For when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the grand reward of that person who feeds a fasting person, man fattara sa'iman, whoever feeds a fasting person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will be a means of Allah forgiving his sins. It will be a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freeing him from the fire of Jahannam just by feeding one fasting person. And the companions said, O Nabi of Allah, not every one of us has the means or possesses the wealth to provide a whole meal to a fasting person. So we're going to fall short. How are we going to get this great reward? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you don't have to give the man a 5-course meal. Even if you give a sip of water. Who is so poor in the world today that they cannot afford to give a sip of water to someone else? There's no one. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if you give them a sip of milk, even if it be one date, we know how much of dates were distributed prior to the month of Ramadan and still are being distributed. One date, you give it to a fasting person, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will receive the same reward as the one who gave a whole meal to a person that fasted. So nobody can say that I'm too poor to capitalize on this aspect of being generous in the month of Ramadan. It's not about how much we give, it's about how sincere we are in giving. Doesn't mean if we're giving a lot, we need to cut that down. Also keep that in mind. We're giving, the more you give, the more you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's within the reach of every single person. So together as a family, we're going to come together and we're going to be generous in the month of Ramadan. And while we're speaking about generosity in the month of Ramadan, this is an important point that I wish to share with each and every person. You see, sometimes in the month of Ramadan, we get so enthusiastic and we're so sincere, and Allah definitely knows our sincerity, and we're so eager to capitalize on the blessings of the month of Ramadan that we set our vision very broad. We look far ahead of us. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. We look so far ahead of us that we forget about what's right in front of us. That's a mistake that sometimes occurs in the month of Ramadan. And the example of this is, a person, mashallah, will be running a business. He has maybe 20 or 30 or 40 Muslim staff working for him. in his business in the month of Ramadan. And this person, mashallah, as I said, his vision is broad. So he is providing iftar in many venues across the town. Sometimes he is possibly even providing iftar in overseas countries. But he forgot that there's 40 Muslims that are working in his business. What has he done to benefit them in the month of Ramadan? What has he done to be a little bit more generous to them in the month of Ramadan? We'll say, no, they're getting paid very well. No, we're not talking about the payment. You want to capitalize on the blessing of the month of Ramadan. Every good deed is multiplied manyfold. Every optional act of worship carries the reward of a farz act. Every farz act of worship carries the reward of being multiplied 70 times. You want to capitalize on the reward? Don't forget of who's right in front of you. Don't make that mistake. So we're so kind, we're so generous to people away from us. But the people closest to us, they've been deprived of that benefit. So we'll start from those closest to us, and inshallah then you can move as far as the horizons are. As broad as you want to go, go as broad as you want to go. Give as much as you can. But even if it's something small, there's nothing too significant, there's nothing too small. That man could be earning a fantastic salary from you, but I assure you that that one box of khajur that you give him will touch his heart in a manner that you never imagined possible. That small gift that you'll give him in the month of Ramadan will go a long way in terms of your akhirah and your intention of trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together as a family, we're going to do something good this month of Ramadan. We're going to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if it's our mothers and sisters preparing something and their father and sons taking it and distributing it, that's what we're going to do inshallah. But we're going to do it together. Together we're going to be involved in this act of worship. And number three, the very important part of the month of Ramadan, we know amongst its blessings, it comes with the acceptance of dua. There's so many moments of acceptance of dua for the fasting person that experiences the month of Ramadan. At the time of suhoor is a time of acceptance of dua. At the time of iftar is a time of acceptance of dua. Every day in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's a special moment of acceptance of dua for a fasting person. But now we're going to come together as a family and we're going to fulfill this verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Jannah, when they are together as families, they will say, "Inna kunna min qablu nad'u." Together we made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world. Together we called out unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe it can be done in the time that we spend in a few minutes with the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we already together. So we're going to lift our hands up together and we're going to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to dua and the month of Ramadan, Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu would say that the dua of a fasting person, especially at the time of iftar, is a dua that's accepted. So you have the option of utilizing that dua for the benefit of your world, or you have the option of using that dua for the benefit of your year after. And Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he would utilize that moment by saying that, "Oh Allah, forgive me the day we stand before you." Although he was already forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and promised Jannah, but he knew the value of that dua in terms of the year after. Now we have the same option and we have the same choice. You can use that dua for the benefit of your worldly life. You can use the dua for the benefit of your year after. You can make both duas. You don't have to deprive yourself of none, because the Quran has also taught us, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, grant us the best of this world. Grant us the best of the year after. And save us from the fire of Jahannam. So we can make whatever dua our hearts desire. I always say at the commencement of the month of Ramadan that this is an opportunity for you to do all your future planning. Whatever your future projects are, whatever your long-term goals are, whatever your short-term goals are, use the month of Ramadan to sort it all out. Your kids are young, you know what future you envisage for them, make that dua in the month of Ramadan. You can sort it out now. You planning on getting married in a few years time, you can sort that out now in the month of Ramadan. Custom or made orders you can sort out in the month of Ramadan. How you want your spouse to be, you can place that order now in the month of Ramadan. Ultimately, what the package will be, that is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can make those orders now in the month of Ramadan, and that's how we should utilize the blessed month and capitalize upon it in whatever way possible for us to do so. So we're going to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, and we're going to ask our heart's desire, but we're going to do it together as a family, so that we fulfill this injunction of we as a family together, we have feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together as a family, we have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, together as a family, we will be entered into Jannah and into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So three simple things, a few minutes on a daily basis, if not on a daily basis, as often as we possibly can, we're going to sit together as a family, and we're going to recite the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month is the month of the Quran, we have to have a strong link with the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more generous than a wind that blew in the month of Ramadan. So together with all our other generous acts that we are carrying out in the month of Ramadan, we're going to come together as a family. Let's get everybody involved. There's so much of benefit that will come about when everybody is involved in the same act of worship. MashaAllah, the father is busy building a magnificent Jannah for himself. He's involved in so many projects, he's involved in so many acts of good, and the son is nowhere to be seen. Why don't we bring them together with us? Get them involved in these good acts of worship. We know we've been through life, we've had our challenges, we've had our ups and downs, perhaps we had our lows and now we're on a high. But you don't know whether your son is going to have that same privilege. So you need him to continue that legacy. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again speaking about the people of Jannah and families being reunited. Allah says, those that have iman and their progenies follow them in that goodness. How are they going to follow you if they're nowhere to be seen? How are they going to follow you if they don't know what you're doing? You're helping so many people. Someone needs to know, because tomorrow you leave this world. At least somebody can continue the good that you started, and you'll still reap the rewards long after you have left this world. So together as a family, inshallah, we're going to be generous and we're going to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly, number three, together as a family, we're going to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever our challenges are, place that forth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever your requests are, place that forth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see the goodness in this world. I always mention this example of one of my good friends, a great scholar, a great alim. He said that it is my life's experience. He's almost touching 60 now. He said, from the time I was a young man till today, I've literally witnessed the manifestation of every single dua that I've made in the month of Ramadan. Whether it was the smallest of things that I requested, or whether it was the biggest of projects that I undertook, but I witnessed the manifestation of every dua that I made in the month of Ramadan. So let's capitalize on that inshallah, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's day 4. We have about 25 days or 26 days left in the month of Ramadan. Every day is an opportunity to do as much as you can. Make the best of it. We don't know whether we will see the complete month of Ramadan. We don't know whether we will see another month of Ramadan in our life. So we need to make the best of what we have right now at our disposal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.